Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly magazine of the performing arts on radio. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. This week you'll hear from the creative team involved in the world premiere of a Central Works Method musical called Project Ahab, or Eye of the Whale. Conductor Robert Geary shares details about the 10th Golden Gate International Children's and Youth Choral Festival getting underway starting on Sunday. We'll have a brief visit with San Francisco Symphony Principal Trumpeter Mark Inouye. He's performing tonight with jazz and the San Francisco Symphony as well under Edward Atwater. You'll also hear about San Francisco Playhouse's production of Stephen Sondheim's Company, and contributor Peter Robinson offers resources for getting out on the water in the Bay Area. Stay with us. That's a traditional sea shanty adapted by Ben Ufrat for Project Ahab, or Eye of the Whale, a new musical about how a band of hippies, mystics, and visionaries changed the world. Set in 1973 in the formative years of the ecology movement, Project Ahab converts Moby Dick, Melville's classic story of a man bent on killing a whale, to that of a man determined to stop the killing of whales, or to wit, Ahab goes after the whalers. Writer Gary Graves and director John Patrick Moore have once again teamed up with musical director Ben Ufrat for this new musical, which runs from July 18th to August 23rd at Berkeley City Club, continuing Central Works' 25th season with its 48th world premiere. The aforementioned creative team join me in studio now to talk about the creation of Project Ahab. Please welcome to the studio Gary Graves, playwright, John Patrick Moore, and Ben Ufrat. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi, David.
All right. So who came up with this idea, first of all?
Mr. Graves.
That would be me, I
guess. All right, Gary. How'd it come out?
Well, I was searching for a metaphor for dealing with climate change, a dramatic metaphor for dealing with climate change and the ecological struggle that I think we are all confronting. And the early years of the ecology movement, the modern ecology movement, the Save the Whales campaign presented itself. And historically, those folks were actually conscious of their own parallel to, Project Ahab, our title, is drawn from one of the names for the early Save the Whales campaign. They actually called it Project Ahab for a little while. So they were aware of the resonance with Melville's classic. And I thought it might be interesting to try to blend the two story strands, one being the historical strand from the 70s and the other from this magnificent, fascinating, bizarre, wonderful book, Moby Dick, into a stage version that we would musicalize.
Interesting. All right. And now you all are familiar with it.
Yes, we are, so to speak.
Now, this work was created with a method called the Central Works Method. I'm wondering what you can exactly tell me about the Central Works Method. You want to do
Dive in with that. And this is... I'm not sure exactly how many we've done at this point. It's like 25 using this method at least, out of the 48. Mm-hmm. And basically, we start with a playwright coming up with a concept, and then we'll team up a director with that. And then from that, without anything actually being written yet, we'll pull together the rest of the creative team, the designers, in this case, a music director. And then we'll actually cast the piece based on what we think the characters will be. And then we will go into a workshop phase, which lasts anywhere between 6 to 8 months, where we'll do 10 three-hour workshops as the play is actually being written. So Gary and I actually started working on this about a year ago when he had the initial concept. He's like, I want to do Moby Dick set in the 70s and make it a musical. What do we think we can do? And then
I see children and animals.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that was kind of kicked it all off. And then we started looking around. We're like, well, what would the music be? It's such a rich time period, 1973, too. So we started looking around and we looked at this town. Oh, yeah. It was really easy. I'm like, started with the top hits of 1973 and then went on. We were looking at 60s protest music, folk tunes. And then, of course, the really rich nautical tradition of sea shanties,
right,
to pull off, and other traditional songs. And then we thought we probably would end up needing some original stuff too to help propel the plot forward, but that was sort of our jumping off point. Mm-hmm. And we found pretty much everything we needed was a surprisingly rich traditional folk tradition. We were using Farewell to Tarwathi, which is another beautiful sea shanty that Judy Collins recorded with Whale Song. And we took Melville in Moby Dick, actually wrote a hymn called The Ribs and Terrors in the Whale. It is sung at what's the name of the chapel in the, it's this church in New Bedford, actually a whaling church where the pulpit is the bow of a ship. So he wrote that hymn and we found an old Southern Harmony hymn tune that we could set his lyrics to.
Nice.
That was really fun.
Nice. That's John Patrick Moore, who is directing Project Ahab, or The Eye of the Whale. Speaking of music, Ben Ufrat, you just finished a run at SF Playhouse in the award-winning production of Ideation. And you're sometimes in productions as a triple threat of both actor, musician, and music director.
Yeah.
Now, how many of those hats are you wearing for this one? Two, I think, at least.
No, I'm in it. I'm music directing it and a musician in it, so I'm all three.
So once again, right.
So it's it is an interesting combination of these traditional shanties, some 70s music, and some original music.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. We've been trying to kind of smash together all these different... I mean, just like we're smashing these two stories and this book and this movement together, we're also trying to like combine all of these music traditions. And when do we go into kind of psychedelic 70s rock? And when do we go into really acoustic, folky, old
hippie
folk tunes? And yeah, we go from communes to blaring music on a boat. So it's trying to move through all these different spaces.
Now, let's talk back about the collaborative process and the central works method. I imagine that, as efficient as that might be, it's has some method to it. It's not just a brainstorming session.
No. Want to take that one, Gary?
Gary Graves.
Yeah, well, it's a terrific way for a playwright to write a play, because what you have sort of an immediate lab or testing ground in which to bring the developing script in and hear it articulated by the actors who are going to perform the roles, and then get their reactions to it, the questions that they have, the ideas that they have. So that sort of very immediate feedback process allows for a relatively rapid way to put a play together, as well as a very exciting one, too, because you get all the ideas from everybody, and everybody has a particular kind of investment in the development of the play because they've all been there from the start of it.
Right, right. Now, inevitably, there must be some differences that arise. Maybe one of Ben's favorite tunes ends up on the cutting room floor. How, in this particular method, are these differences resolved?
We reason it out.
And kind of each time is really different. It depends on, a lot of it is testing it out. He comes in with the script and we have the music ideas and we come in with both, and then we do. It really is a mash it together. Oh, that worked, or that didn't work, or what's most important to you? What do we have to keep? And then ultimately, I think it comes down to what's propelling the story forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you kind of boil it down to its essences, you're like, okay, these are all nice things, but what do we need? What do we not need? And then
as long
as you're focusing on those few needs, then you can kind of shape the text or the music or whatever you need.
And all the cuts will be going into Ahab too.
Right.
That's right. The return of Ahab.
Well, Gary Graves, as playwright, the central works method must seem a natural fit for you, since for some time you've been teaching playwriting at the Berklee Rep School of Theater.
Yeah, for over 10 years I've been teaching playwriting there year round. It's and in the summers I do a new play workshop with them, and so yeah, it's been a terrific job and a great place to meet a lot of writers. We brought a lot of writers into Central Works through the Berkeley Rep School, and it's a great sort of partnership.
Mm-hmm. John Patrick Moore, as director, you've had a great track record directing both musical theater and opera, including SF Lyric Opera's production of David Lang's Little Match Girl Passion, which was distinguished as being in the San Francisco Chronicle's top 10 classical music performances in 2012.
Yeah, well, I was assistant director on that one.
Very
with
nice.
Chip Grant, who was the director of that. And that was a fantastic production as well. Mm-hmm. And again, a really collaborative one. It was... In that particular piece, we took David Lang's Pulitzer Prize-winning piece, which has four singers who also play their own instruments. And then we took that, which is usually done as just like a concert. It was written for just four singers. And we worked with Anastasia Louise to she's a Butoh-style dancer. And we brought that, and she became the Little Match Girl. And that particular piece actually was another kind of mashup. It was David Lang taking the text of the St. Matthew Passion that Bach used in his libretto, and they took out the Christ Passion story and put in the Little Match Girl's Passion story. So it's a fascinating piece. I recommend you guys all listen to it. And it was really fun to actually stage it. And originally, when we did it, we actually met David Lang, and he was like, really? There's going to be a dancer? And he was a little nervous about what would happen. But then we actually met him when we ended up taking it to Denmark, where he was being honored, and he got to see a little bit of it. And he was very impressed with it, so it was cool.
Do you have to adjust your approach when you're working with actors in a musical theater situation as opposed to an operatic production?
I think they're all pretty much the same. And I think with opera singers, they often are coming at it from music first versus acting, but it really depends. And the actors we were working in that production are really actors as well as singers. A lot of them had a lot of opera, which is requires a lot of acting experience. And in this play, we are dealing with people who tend to be a couple of people who come more from acting and there are less singers. They sing in shows, but they don't consider themselves like primarily a singer. So the work we do in this show is almost entirely coming out of the acting approach first. Like, what are you trying to communicate? What do you want from the people around you? And connecting with the song that way.
John Patrick Moore, director of Project Ahab, The Eye of the Whale, running through August 23rd at Berkeley City Club. And it's an original work from Central Works. Also talking with the playwright Gary Graves about this collaborative process. And with Ben Ufrat. Ben, I'm wondering if you could offer us some of your original music to take us out on this.
Of course, no problem.
What might we be hearing on this?
This will be our commune song in this show that we wrote called Face East.
Nice. Let's hear it. And gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure, David. All right,
thanks. We're going to get Ben set up for this original piece here and remind you that you can find out more about this work, Central Works, the new play theater, their 25th season continuing with their 48th world premiere, Project Ahab, The Eye of the Whale, written by Gary Graves, directed by John Patrick Moore, with musical direction and some original music by Ben Ufrat, which we're going to hear right now here on KLW.
Will you lay your life on the line for your Mother Earth? When the Spirit calls at the end of time, what will be your worth? If the clouds should part and the trumpets should call, will you rise and go? When that day must come and you must choose, is it yes or no? Will you face east, the sun rises, face east in the morn, face east, the voice rises, face east, we must go, we must go, we must go. We must go, we must go. Was this land given to you by your mother? were the oceans left for you by your father? When you've taken all that you can, what will remain? This earth was loaned to you by your children. Will they face as the sun rises? Face east in the morn? Face east, the voice rises? Face east, we must go, we must go, we must go. We must go, we must face east, the voice rises. Face east in the morn. Face east, the sun rises. Face east, we are born, we are born, we are born. We are born. We are born.
Face East, an original tune by Ben Ufrad with lyrics by both Ben and Gary Graves, performed live here on KLW for Open Air. It's part of Central Works production of Project Ahab. I'm David LaTulipe, and this is Open Air, our weekly performing arts magazine of the airwaves. Still to come, conductor Robert Geary on the Golden Gate International Children's and Youth Choral Festival, trumpeter Mark Inouye, and some sailing tips from Peter Robinson. You are in good company.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes company. No strings, good times, room hums company. Late nights, quick bites, party games, deep talks, long walks, telephone calls. Thoughts shared, souls bare, private names, all those photos up on the walls. With love, with love, filling the days. With love, 70 ways, kabobby with love. People, my married friends, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's really about, really about.
That's what it really is all about. That's the memorable original cast recording of Stephen Sondheim's musical Company, which featured Dean Jones as the lead character, Bobby. The groundbreaking musical premiered in 1970 and was nominated for a record-breaking 14 Tonys, winning 6. And then enjoyed Broadway revivals in 1995 and 2006. The musical opened Saturday at the San Francisco Playhouse, playing through September 12th, in a production directed by the Playhouse's co-founder and co-artistic director, Susie Damolano, who's been a guest here on KLW before, with musical direction from today's guest, Dave Dobrowski. In addition to being involved in the San Francisco Playhouse productions of Into the Woods, Camelot, Putting It Together, Man of La Mancha, and My Fair Lady, Dave is the resident music director at 42nd Street Moon, where he has played, arranged, orchestrated, and conducted almost 100 classic and or forgotten musicals, including Cole Porter's Leave It to Me and Jerome Kern's The Cabaret Girl. Dave, such a pleasure to welcome you back to KLW in Open Air.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here again. Yes.
Well, for those unfamiliar with the storyline of Company, Dave, that opening number kind of sums things up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all about Bobby, who's single, and he's thinking about, well, it's all about the conflict about whether he should get married or not. He hangs out with all these married people and sees the ups and downs of all their marriages and has to, like, he's trying to figure out his own life that way. Being single myself, I kind of identify that a little bit, yeah, so.
In an urban environment, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Well, Susie Damolano and the creative team decided to set this in contemporary Manhattan instead of the swing in the 70s. Were there any changes or adjustments to the script that were needed?
Well, I think there are a few cultural references which apply to the 70s, and they did change a couple of them. Like, I don't remember what the original thing was, but, like, she talks about Madonna at what point and stuff. There's one lyric where she sings about her service. She's like, "My service will get back to you," right, which we decided not to change because I think we should not ever change a Stephen Sondheim lyric. So we're just kind of saying that and just trying to, you know. But yeah, and also it was interesting that original cast and on all it all starts with a dial tone or a busy signal. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we're going to have the busy signal because he's on his iPhone. So, okay. But yeah.
Yeah, but the storyline certainly applies today. Well, let's talk a little bit about Sondheim, the wordsmith. The book is by George Firth, based on a series of short plays about relationships in an urban environment. And then song lyrics crafted by Sondheim with his music. Now, talk to me a little bit about what you've experienced with Sondheim and his words.
Well, they're just amazing. Like, you know, it's almost like perfect lyrics all the time. And the most important thing is just to make sure that we can understand all of them, no matter. And it's not an easy task because everyone's talking at the same time or singing at the same time. And yeah, so my big thing is just make sure we can understand all the words first and foremost. And
I was going to say, you must have to be more careful about tempo and different...
Yeah, we really do. I love to do everything too fast, but we're discovering, oh, if we just slow it down just a little bit, we'll be able to understand the lyrics better, you know, and so...
Well, let's give the folks an example of that wordplay and the rapid-fireness of Stephen's writing in Another 100 People, again, from the original soundtrack of Company.
Perfect. That's a perfect example.
Another 100 People from Company.
Another 100 people just got off of the train and came up through the ground line. Another 100 people just got off of the bus and are looking around at another 100 people who got off of the plane. And are looking at us who got off of the train and the plane and the bus maybe yesterday. It's a city of strangers. Some come to work, some to play. A city of strangers. Some come to stare, some to stay. And every day. Another 100 people just got off of the train. It's a city of strangers. Some come to work, some to play. A city of strangers. Some come to stare, some to stay. And every day, some go away. Or they find each other in the crowded streets and the guarded parks. By the rusty fountains and the dusty trees.
Character Marta, sung there by the original cast member Pamela Myers, nominated for a Tony for that performance, and Another 100 People from the original soundtrack recording of Stephen Sondheim's Company. Some urban angst at its best. My guest, Dave Dabrowski, is the music director of the company production being done at the San Francisco Playhouse. That's some pretty amazing writing.
Amazing, I know. And we have a great Marta, Teresa Attridge, and love all those triple rhymes and all of that imagery about the city and how lonely it is and yet not lonely at the same time because there's another 100 people.
Ensemble cast, isn't it?
It really is, and we have some of the best ensemble actors in the Bay Area. We have Ryan Drummond, Abby Sammons. We have Monique Hafen, who plays Amy. She sings the song about I'm not getting married today, and another wordy song.
Gosh. Yeah, yeah.
And we're gonna make sure we understand every word. We have Valina Brown, Richard Frederick, Michelle Drexler, Michael Scott Wells, just all kinds of all the best people, and I'm so excited. We just have the best actors in this show.
And it's such I've said this before, it's such a beautiful space to do a show too. That Playhouse is really gorgeous.
It is, and it is, and the set is going to be gorgeous. They sort of wanted it to look like it was in the Algonquin Cabaret Room, and the so it's very New York, very classy, and it's going to look really beautiful.
There are such great tunes in this show. I'd love to spend some more time on it, but I am going to, I think we'll go out on the signature tune of the late, great Elaine Stritch, who made this tune famous.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned Stephanie Prentice will be in this role. Let's go out with that memorable tune from Company, The Ladies Who Lunch, sung by Ms. Stritch in all of her smoky, alcohol-induced splendor. Dave, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much. It's been such an honor to be here. Thank you.
We're really looking forward to the show.
I'd like to propose a toast. Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch on their own behalf. Off to the gym, then to a fitting, claiming their fat. And looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat. Does anyone still wear a hat? I'll drink to that. Here's to the girls who stay smart. Aren't they a gas? Rushing to their classes in optical art, wishing it would pass. Another long, exhausting day, another $1,000. A matinee, a pinter play, perhaps a piece of Mahler's. I'll drink to that. And one for Mahler. Here's to the girls who play wife. Aren't they too much? Keeping house but clutching a copy of Life just to keep in touch. The ones who follow the rules and meet themselves at the schools, too busy to know that they're fools. Aren't they a gem? I'll drink to them. Let's all drink to them. The girls who just watch, aren't they the best? When they get depressed, it's a bottle of scotch
plus a little jest. Another chance to disapprove another brilliant singer. Another reason not to move another vodka stinger. I'll drink to that. So here's to the girls on the go. Everybody tries. Look into their eyes and you'll see what they know. Everybody dies. A toast to that invincible bunch, the dinosaurs surviving the crunch. Let's hear it for the ladies who lunch. Everybody rise.
One and only Elaine Stritch from her live recording at Liberty, taking, I'd say, great liberty with Stephen Sondheim's music in that live recording. You can hear Stephanie Prentice in that role in the San Francisco Playhouse production of Company, running through September 12th. Information at sfplayhouse.org. Well, from the wrecked and wonderful voice of Elaine Stritch, we move to the angelic voices that can be heard starting next week in the East Bay. The Estonian TV Girls Chorus, one of the guest young people's choirs that will be featured July 12th to the 18th for the 10th Golden Gate International Children's and Youth Choral Festival, the only festival of its kind, at Oakland's Scottish Rite Center and venues around the East Bay and San Francisco. Some 650 young choral artists representing 21 choirs from 8 countries on 4 continents will be featured, and they're hosted by Piedmont East Bay Children's Choir and their artistic director, Robert Geary, my guest today. For more than 30 years, Bob has led the Piedmont East Bay Children's Choir, which is actually a whole host of choirs and an incredible school for singers. No stranger to these airwaves, Bob is also the director of the San Francisco Choral Society, which will be performing Mozart's Requiem next month, and Volti, the new chamber choir that he founded and that will be also be performing as part of this 10th Golden Gate International Festival. Bob, welcome once again to
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here and great to get to talk about the festival.
Well, what an undertaking. My gosh, a lot of kids are coming this way.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think everybody that's working on it right now, all our staff and volunteers, are probably all ready to throw things at me for pushing the thing in the first place, but it's a wonderful event.
Well, I can see why it's a triennial thing, not an annual thing.
Yes, your intuition is correct.
So talk to me a little bit about that beautiful chorus that we just heard.
Yeah, ETV Choir is really, you know, it's hard to say who's the greatest, who's the fairest of them all kind of thing, but ETV Choir is really one of the great, great choirs in the world, better than, you know, most professional adult choirs. There are young women, age 15 to 25, Estonians. The choir was founded by their conductor, Arnes Saluver. They have incredible diversity of range, from the most advanced contemporary music to show tunes to folk music and dance. They're fully trained young artists with multiple dimensions to give. And they're going to be our guest artists. We've been trying, actually, now, this is the third festival, so just about 10 years, we've been trying to get them to come and bring their incredible music to our audience here and be part of the festival. They've actually hosted the Piedmont East Bay Children's Choir several times in Estonia, so we're just thrilled they're going to be here. And for anybody who's got the slightest interest in choral music, you need to hear them sing. They will just lift you right out of your seat. They're amazing.
There's something about that area of the world for chorusing. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I know. The Finnish and the Estonian sound and repertoire is kind of my ideal, and I've spent many years wondering what it is. Some folks talk about language, that they have a common. Finnish and Estonian are part of the Hungaro-Ugric language group, which includes Hungarian, and no one is quite sure how it became just those three countries. But, you know, the shape of and the use of the sounds that they use in those languages may lend itself to the quality of the sound. I also think that there's just this totally unpretentious naturalness about singing and using their voice. And sometimes I wonder if this goes back to the stillness of winter in early times before technology, when, you know, you were in for the winter and there was not a whole lot to do. And singing and communicating with singing was, I think, an essential activity.
So this is this part of the country. We're going to hear some music from one of those groups next.
Yeah, we can listen to a little bit by Vox Aurea. Vox Aurea is from Jyväskylä in Finland. And this recording was made by their previous conductor, Pekka Kostiainen, who's a well-known composer, and in fact, Piedmont East Bay Children's Choir has commissioned him. Volti has premiered some of his music, and he's been here to California several times. He won't be coming this time. But the piece we're going to listen to is the beginning of his piece called Reventulet, which means Northern Lights or Aurora Borealis. And interestingly enough, for the musicians listening out there, it's the entire piece is built on the octatonic scale or the diminished scale.
All right, Vox Aurea, and then more with Bob Geary about the 10th Golden Gate International Children's and Youth Choral Festival.
Thank you.
Vox Aurea, the guest chorus at the 9th Golden Gate International Children's and Youth Choral Festival, the 10th getting underway July 12th through the 18th. This time they're appearing as one of the competing choruses, all under the brainchild wonder of artistic director Bob Geary, who's in studio to tell me about this. This is quite an undertaking. I mentioned that one of the competing choirs, so this is more than just a festival of concerts. There's some competition going on here.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to build an international choral competition in the United States that was comparable to those that we've been part of all over the world, Europe, Asia, and we have. So there are 14 concerts. And by the way, if you just queue up goldengatefestival.org, you can get into the festival schedule. Many of these concerts are free. The free ones are scattered about the East Bay. There are also some paid concerts, one at Old First Concert Series in San Francisco. And there are 14 different concerts over the course of the week. Plus, we have affiliated concerts at the Oregon Bach Festival in Eugene on the 10th in Soaring Theater, and with the Los Angeles Children's Choir down in L.A. on the, I think it's the 21st, and also at the Gualala Arts Center on the 19th. So the festival is slowly spreading out and sharing the wealth of this wonderful singing.
I mentioned early on that you are director also of the ensemble Volti. I understand they're going to be participating in this year's festival as well.
Yeah, and this is the first time and kind of a unique thing. Volti got a Gerbode grant and did a huge new performance art piece called Pandora's Gift, music by Mark Wingus, choreographer by Erica Chung-Shuk, poetry by Denise Newman, and we deliberately had it written for ensemble from the Piedmont Choirs, which is the flagship treble choir, and Volti, which is the mixed voice professional choir. And so that was premiered at Z-Space in May, but the third and final scheduled performance will occur on Thursday the 16th at the Scottish Rite Auditorium, and that's a unique piece. And that concert will be shared with the ETV choir, so that's going to be a really extraordinary evening of music making.
We mentioned also in the introduction that you're going to have some 21 choirs from 8 countries, 4 continents. I think we just hit one continent so far. Where else are we hearing music from?
Well, you know, in the world of music, the farther away, in some ways, the more interesting. And we have a Chinese choir from Hangzhou, and we have an Indonesian choir from Jakarta. And the Indonesian choir, I think we can listen to a little bit of it as we finish up, maybe. But it's called Resonance. And we have had a different Indonesian choir at past festival. And what's wonderful is that they do sing Western music, but they also have this gamelan-influenced and Hindu-influenced music that has a different vocal production and does combine movement also. So that's an extraordinarily interesting and extraordinarily refined and well done.
Well, this is a tremendous cultural exchange you're doing here. I mean, these kids have to be housed somewhere, too. So that's where the staff, I'm sure the exasperated staff members come in, or at least the volunteers.
My hat is off completely to the families within the Piedmont East Bay Children's Choir. We are housing all the international singers in homes with our own families. And then choirs from North America, and there are quite a few of those as well, are finding their housing in various dormitories. But yeah, housing is a big piece of the puzzle.
Well, it sounds like an incredible festival. No reason not to catch something. If you go to goldengatefestival.org, you'll learn more about all the various offerings. July 12th to 18th for the 10th Golden Gate International Children's and Youth Choral Festival. Bob, thanks for coming in today. I think we're going to go out with that Indonesian chorus, Resonance Children Choir.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, see you all at the festival. Thanks, David.
Resonance Children Choir, one of the participants in the wonderful Golden Gate International Children's Choral Festival. Getting underway, starting on Sunday. Information at goldengatefestival.org. Well, those of us familiar with the San Francisco Symphony have heard my next guest, principal trumpeter Mark Inouye, but perhaps not like this. Tonight at Davies Symphony Hall, it's a jazzy night featuring Mark Inouye with the San Francisco Symphony. Edwin Outwater, conductor. Mark will be joined by Jeff Massanari, guitar, with Larry Epstein on bass, Jeff Mars on drums, and the San Francisco Symphony. Program to include some music by Tchaikovsky, arranged in a different way, as well as Vasily Brand, Modest Mussorgsky, in an arrangement, and an original work by Mark Inouye. I caught up with Mark the other day at Davies Symphony Hall. Here's that conversation. Great playing on your track, Contemptible, from the Trumpet and the Bowl CD. Wow, that's just amazing.
Thanks. I made that album when I was living in Houston, playing in the Houston Symphony about 10 years ago. Started off as just a project, and I realized I didn't have a lot of my original compositions recorded, so that's how that album came about.
Well, this concert gives you a great opportunity to step away a bit from the classical world of the symphony.
Yeah, you know, I don't really get a chance to play much jazz anymore. One, I don't have time, and two, the chops can't always take it. I pretty much go all out when I play jazz, and then the next day I pay for it, especially if I have to sit down in the orchestra and have to play some subtle lines or, you know, softer passages. I can't always do that anymore.
Well, I imagine given the symphony schedule, it's just hard to find time to get out of that box.
Yeah, it's both time and chops. But I gotta say, my favorite genre of music to listen to is jazz.
You're also on this concert kind of doing both jazz and classical. You're going to do the West Coast premiere of a piece by Vasily Brand as well.
Yeah, that was a concert piece. He wrote two of them for trumpet and band, and I had a buddy of mine arrange it for trumpet and orchestra. And yeah, it's a nice kind of flashy piece. It's very romantic. Lyrical sections almost sound like those of Rachmaninoff or Tchaikovsky. But he also wrote in a style for as if it was for a violin. There's some real technical and virtuosic sections in there that I think should be fun for the audience to hear. And hopefully I can get through it okay without too many injuries.
Well, you're calling this part of the program corrupted classics. This is one you're hopefully not going to corrupt. I think I prefer the term repurposed classics.
Yeah, the symphony is not calling it corrupted classics. That was a phrase coined by actually our principal bassist, Scott Pingle, when we were backstage just chatting about this 6-7 months ago. But yeah, the second half three of the pieces on the second half are melodies from the classical repertoire altered or arranged in a jazz genre with full orchestra backing us up.
So Mussorgsky, I understand, an arrangement of a Dvorak movement from the Eighth Symphony?
Yeah, the Dvorak came about, I don't know if you owned a Sony Walkman in the 1980s. Well, for those who owned a Sony Walkman back then, if you remember, it came with a demo tape. A cassette came with it. It wasn't very long. And back then, I didn't own any cassettes, so I listened to this demo tape over and over again. And on side B was a jazz trio playing the melody of Dvorak's Eighth Symphony, Third Movement. But back when I was in high school, I didn't know that. I just thought it was kind of a cool jazz waltz. And I listened to it so much, I really remember it quite vividly. And so fast forward 25 years later to this concert, I knew that this arrangement, an arrangement of that melody in this style could work. And I have to say, the arranger and orchestrator for this concert is Eric Jacobson, a local trumpet player, jazz trumpet player in his own right, and amazing, and has done a really amazing job with these arrangements. So I'm really looking forward to playing it and having the audience check it out.
Something from an arrangement of Mussorgsky's Pictures of That in Exhibition, a theme or two.
Yeah, so that tune is borrowed from the movement called the Tuileries, which is a painting now lost of children playing in the Tuileries Garden, which is outside in Paris near the Louvre Museum. And the funny thing about that movement in Mussorgsky's piece and Ravel's orchestration of his piano pieces, that movement doesn't have any brass. In fact, it doesn't even have a trumpet. So it's the melody from that movement orchestrated and arranged for a jazz quartet and the full orchestra.
Also a couple jazz standards on the program.
There's only one standard, and it's a My Funny Valentine, and its arrangement I originally did for a combo that Eric Jacobson then took and added some extra interludes and then orchestrated it for the entire band. And I think it's probably, well, it's definitely the hippest arrangement of My Funny Valentine for a full orchestra, that's for sure.
Well, after this concert, you're off to Japan and then the Grand Tetons and then heading out with the San Francisco Symphony for their tour. Are there any pieces in particular you're looking forward to playing on the tour?
You know, I really like anything that has trumpet. I'm pretty happy about that. But even pieces that don't have trumpet or don't have a lot of things for trumpet to do, you know, this band is an amazing band. I mean, this symphony is an amazing symphony. And I've got a pretty good seat in the house sitting there on stage. So I got to say, 99% of the time, I really enjoy hearing the orchestra like an audience member would. And I feel like I've got an awesome seat in the house.
Well, one of the tunes we're going to hear you play on this concert is Cinderella, also from your CD, The Trumpet and the Bull. We're going to go out with that. Could you tell us a little bit about that particular tune?
Wow, yeah, I wrote that piece, it sure seems like a long time ago. It was originally for a girl who I can say is now happily married to someone else. No, but it's fine. It's a tune that, you know, I try to make it very lyrical and meaningful, and hopefully the audience picks up on that, even though it was written a long time ago.
A Jazz Night featuring Marc Annouillé with the San Francisco Symphony tonight at 7:30. Information at sfsymphony.org. Let's hear a bit of Cinderella that you can hear tomorrow night. Marc, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
touch of Cinderella, music by Mark Inouye. Featured tonight with the San Francisco Symphony, a 7:30 concert, part of the Summer and the Symphony Concerts. Edwin Outwater, conductor. Information at sfsymphony.com. Oops, sfsymphony.org, that is. I'm David LaTulipe. It looks like we'll have to wait till next week for Peter Robinson's sailing tips. You've been listening to Open Air. My thanks to Lee Zach Shalit for assistance with this week's show, which is archived along with all past shows at klw.org. Kevin Vance will be sitting in for me for the next few weeks. Some excellent guests already set up for you. Thanks for tuning in.